Let me know if you think this is messed up. Sometimes you want to be the cool parent, right?
Okay.
So this past Friday, we were getting out of work kind of early. My daughter, who is a freshman in high school, texted that she was having a bad day at school and she wanted to leave early. I am not the parent that gives into that. And I'm always like, suck it up. Day's over. It's Friday.
Right.
Maybe the weekend soon. And I said, you know what? Like, she's been through a lot and I'm going, yeah, okay. So I texted her back. I said, I'll pick you up. You won't have to go to last period. So she would get out 90 minutes early, but you have to come with me to the gym. Our gym is right across the street from the high school. I thought she would be so excited.
Yeah, sounds great. Let's do this. I'm already wearing my leggings.
Right, exactly. You're in your gym clothes all the time anyway. And she wrote back, I would rather stay at school.
Perspective is everything, right?
Can you please order me Starbucks, though, at pickup?
What? Oh, my gosh. So right. She wants to hop out, walk into the car. You've just come from working out, and you're safeguarding this 1,000-calorie drink for her.
Her grande acai.
Wow.
Strawberry. Yes.
Wow.
With lemonade. I know. I was just like, well, that's hurtful. Like, I thought we were going to have this fun bonding. You're getting out of school early before your little sister, and we're going to go work out, and then we'll get your sister. Nope. You'd rather not.
Well, when you have the scales right next to each other, right, and you're weighing it out, I mean, there's certain things that they sound appealing. Listen, if it was first period, mm-hmm. You know, the gym probably would have worked, right? That would have been one thing. But now it's late in the day. If she's feeling lazy or tired along with being a little bit mopey, she doesn't want to necessarily get her heart rate up. I get that. But, you know, again, it's that sliding scale. What's the stuff that you would not do instead of going to school or work?
Like, I don't know. Like, I feel like any break from your norm.
Yeah.
I'm in. Like, I would rather go to the doctor than go to work. Because I'm like, well, it's something different, you know?
You know what? I would rather go to the doctor myself than go to work than drive a family member to the doctor.
Oh.
I know my doctor's office. I know the timing of the appointments and how they do the things they do. Even if they make me wait, I'm here for that. If you're driving like your uncle, your aunt, your grandmother or whatever to a doctor's appointment, you may be there all day. And you have no idea when you pull up what the rest of the day is going to be like. You can't make any other plans around it. You're stuck.
I would rather stay at school or stay at work than go to a funeral. Absolutely.
Yep.
Like, that stinks. Like, that nobody wants to take that day off.
And it always seems to be raining, too.
Right.
I would rather go to work, stay at work late than go home and clean the house. When my wife is cleaning the house that day,
yeah.
I know that if I go home and hang out around the house, she's going to expect me to do it with her.
I agree with that. I think you're right.
There's no napping or anything like that. I would rather be here. Whenever you see me and I'm like, what else can we do?
Mm-hmm.
Know that something like that is happening in my world.
I would rather be here at work. And this is going to sound terrible as a mom, but I have days during the week where I leave here and then I immediately take off my working cap and I put on my taxi cab hat and I have to drive the little one to gymnastics, get the big one to improv, go pick up the little one at gymnastics because now she has dance, get her across town, pick up the big one, bring her to her trainer. I have, on Wednesday afternoons, 3.5 hours where I don't get out of my car. It's just dropping off one to the other, to the other, to the other. I would rather be here at work than go and do all that traffic back and forth.
See, if you could have my favorite drink waiting for me in the vehicle after that,
yeah,
I think I might have made the same choice.
Stop leaking overnight on your period. Always night pads are designed for a perfect night's sleep with up to 100% leak protection so you can do your sleep thing. Why is it trending? Top news stories trending and why? Golden Globes were last night. Beverly Hills, they made some changes. I thought it was actually more interesting than they usually are. Usually, you know, you're over these award ceremonies. It seemed faster, which I definitely liked. But the most touching moment of the entire night happened on the red carpet before the event even kicked off. So they were interviewing Brie Larson, and all of a sudden, Brie Larson sees J-Lo behind her, and her reaction was completely surprising.
I know, it's Jennifer Lopez. I know, it's J-Lo.
I can't deal with J-Lo.
Brie Larson starts crying because J-Lo is behind her, and then they have this.
You mean so much to me.
Hi, how are you?
Oh, my God.
I'm such a huge fan. I saw Selena, and it made me want to be an actor, and you've always meant so much to me.
Oh, my God, don't make me cry.
It's been a dream of mine, so thank you so much. Your work ethic is so important. Thank you.
Thank you. Oh, you're sweet. Thank you.
Why are you rolling your eyes?
I'm not rolling my eyes. I was just going to say, what were they wearing?
Are you serious?
It's a very nice moment. Good for them.
You know, in my mind, all these celebrities know each other. So when you see Brie Larson like burst into tears because it's the first time she's meeting J-Lo and J-Lo was the reason why she wanted to be an actress, it was like, oh my gosh, like for moments like this, like the Golden Globes, for as much as we all can't stand them and we make fun of them and we say these things or whatever, like they're big moments for them. They get to meet their own like people that they admire and the reason why they're in the industry.
So what else happened? Did anything else happen?
Well, Joe Coy yeah. was the comedian and he was the host. And he started by making a joke about Taylor Swift being there.
Welcome back. And as you know, we came on after a football doubleheader. The big difference between the Golden Globes and the NFL, on the Golden Globes, we have fewer camera shots of Taylor Swift. I swear. It was just more to go to. Here.
And then they panned to Taylor Swift, and Taylor Swift was like kind of rolling her eyes and taking a sip of champagne. Now, I took it as feeling like I know Taylor Swift's humor.
Yeah.
She was like rolling her eyes like to be funny. You know, like she wasn't like actually offended. But
sure.
All the news outlets are running with it today that she was offended by it and, you know, it was a poor joke. And
I mean,
know,
it's a pretty light joke, too. It's really not that harsh, right?
Reviews about him have been, I don't want to say they're mixed. They've been terrible. They were not great. I don't know. He was whatever. Like, even his jokes were whatever.
Yeah. I think one of the best things that they have going for themselves now during this revamp that you're talking about is that they're bringing in the popular films and popular TV shows. And so, you know, with like Taylor Swift's Eras and Beyonce's Renaissance,
well, Beyonce's,
like you get these people to show up.
Yeah, but Beyonce's wasn't nominated. Taylor Swift's movie was. So there's a new a category that they started, which was called Blockbuster, Best
yeah.
Blockbuster.
Okay.
And those are basically the movies that everybody actually goes to see.
Right. The critics could hate them.
Right.
But, you know, they were popular. They made money. People loved them.
And sadly, that was like one of the only ones that Barbie won. Oppenheimer was the big winner with
yeah.
5 awards for movies. Succession was a TV winner with 4 awards. And I could see like Barbies, like Margot Robbie and Greta and all of them, like their faces were kind of really sad.
Yeah.
Like they weren't winning anything. They really weren't.
They were nominated a bunch, but right.
But Blockbuster, they won that. I felt like they made it just for Barbie because they didn't know what to do. Honestly, that's how I felt.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, on that note, the award show still miss here or there. If we could just have Brie Larson and J-Lo.
My favorite part was that where are the people going to be able to get to the stage without tripping over the trains of their dresses? It was packed like a giant Italian wedding in there. The tables were so close and nobody could navigate. That was the most interesting part of the whole night.
Wow.
That's all I need to know about you.
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 This is your turn to vent. Just go ahead, say it. Whatever is making you nuts, upset right now. 1-800-330-9999. Katarina, that's all I need to know about you.
If you're an adult and still write in a journal or a diary, that's all I need to know about you.
But aren't you supposed to do that? I feel like that's so many people's New Year's resolution and their thing is that they're supposed to journal and write and reflect and gratitude journals and writing 5 things every day that make you happy is supposed to make you a better person.
Can't you just take care of that in your head? Like, why you got to write it down like a little kid?
Okay.
Well, I mean, I think going back and looking at different times in your life is important, too. So my sister just shared with me at Christmas that, you know, my mother was packing up a bunch of the things from our grandparents' house when they moved out. My grandmother passed away recently, and she said that she has some of her journals. My mother was unaware they were in the boxes, and go in there and there's talk about, you know, marriage and things she used to do when she was younger. And, you know, it's really fascinating stuff to see now at this point. If it's all in your head, nobody will ever know.
I wish I journaled more.
See?
I used to have an email address when I first had Hayden, my older daughter, my teenager, and I would write her letters when she was a baby, things that were happening in the world and things that were going on in my head. And I have lost that email, that password, how to access it. I have no idea. Like, I don't know what happened. I just don't have it anymore. And I think how silly that I didn't just write it down somewhere, that I thought I was being so progressive by setting up this email that now I don't even know how to access. Like, how ridiculous.
It's probably right next to that dude who's been looking for that Bitcoin password for the past 20 years, trying to bribe the FBI to help him. Yeah, it's probably right next to that.
Yeah. Maya, that's all I need to know about you.
If you still call people with glasses 4 eyes, that's all I need to know about you.
What are you, six?
Who does that?
And where would a six-year-old even hear that nowadays? I'd be like, that's gone.
They do come up with some silly things. I mean, are you talking about a child or an adult that calls somebody four eyes?
Anyone. I mean, I've heard adults say it for sure.
Yeah, if it's not an 80-year-old grandfather, I'm not really sure where that comes from. Doesn't make much sense to me. If they're trying to be silly, I guess that's one thing. They're actually saying that as some sort of way to dig on somebody. Wow.
Wait, hold on. What did that kid call Dakota at school? My 5-year-old, she's a kindergarten.
Called her a goof. Right.
And she came home so upset because these two kids in the hallway, she didn't know who they were, called her a goof. And I was like, it's okay to be a goof. Mommy's a goof. Mommy's made an entire career out of being a goof, you know?
You like this house?
Yeah, right. Because mommy's a goof.
That's right.
Kids come up with these ridiculous names that they think is so hurtful. And then my niece got upset because somebody called her a little gum-gum.
I think it was a little gum-gum.
Yeah. And she was so upset about that. Where are these kids making up these things?
Mm. It's not necessarily the thing that said it's the tone. It's the way they say it.
Little gum-gum.
Hey, Gina, that's all I need to know about you.
If you are one of those people who constantly brings up, like, back in my day or what life was like when you were younger, like, that's all I need to know about you.
Two times this happens a lot, when you're getting older or feeling older. The other one is if you're in a group full of people that's what they're doing. Because if one person does it, then the next person does it, then the next person does it. It's kind of like a nostalgia thing. They all recap what it was like in their life.
Everybody should do a timeout. Like when you feel yourself about to say, back in my day, stop. Stop, drop, and roll.
Consider.
Do whatever you got to do.
Yes.
To prevent yourself from moving on forward with that.
Consider yourself at that moment, whether or not this is the time you want to do that.
Yeah. On average, you have 6 dumb arguments every single weekend because that's when you're spending the most time with your family and friends.
Yeah, I don't know what's happening in America lately. Have you guys seen this? Is all of a sudden people are jumping into the Bass Pro Shops and Cabela Pro Shops. Like they have that big aquarium-like area.
Yeah.
Right. So there's one guy who like went in there and caught a fish the other day. And then I saw somebody else dove in there. And then the headlines this weekend were, man does nude cannonball into Bass Pro Shop aquarium.
Yes.
And so the discussion with my wife was that you can't have a cannonball if you don't have a diving board, essentially, is all I'm saying. It's like you have to have elevated space. You can't just yell cannonball when you go off a level space and that makes it a cannonball.
This is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Of course you can.
If you don't have elevation, you can't expect to get a good splash.
If you jump,
you would require a cliff or a diving board, is all I'm saying.
Absolutely not. That's a dive, not a cannonball.
She says it's a cannonball.
Producer John, is this the dumbest thing you've ever heard in your entire life?
I mean, first of all, yes, it's absolutely a cannonball. If you jump at any point and then you tuck the knees and you grab and you land in a ball position, that's a cannonball. It doesn't require any other thing.
Agreed. You don't need a diving board.
You need a big splash for it to be acceptable as a cannonball. You're not really going to get that if you're just going off level ground.
If you're a big person, you get a big splash.
I don't want to sound insensitive, but when I watched that video with my teenage daughter of him flopping around like a seal, while the security guards try to...
Right, because he goes into the tank and then he comes out the front for some reason and lands like on his body and head.
I laughed so hard.
Yeah.
More than any grown woman should laugh at something.
Sometimes you get what's coming to you.
Yeah.
Sometimes you get what's coming to you.
I had a dumb argument. One of my girlfriends is staying over for a couple of days while she's visiting from out of state.
I don't know. I think journaling is a waste of time and kind of stupid.
I cannot even believe that you're saying that. Journaling is transformative. Mm. It gives you that quiet time. You can express your thoughts. It really grounds me, and it makes me more present throughout the day.
How many times have you gone back and read your journal entry?
But that's not the point. You're not writing it for someone else to read it. It's how you're feeling in the moment that helps you.
And then what do you do when you're done? Just throw it away, light it on fire?
I sort of like to go back and see where my head was a couple of years ago or something like that. It doesn't really matter to me whether I wrote it well or not. I can kind of see where my head was at the time.
You know, I have a couple of very good friends, Nancy, Rita, Lisa, that they're really into meditating, the crystals, the journaling. And sometimes when they talk, I can't.
You know?
I can't. Like, I'm like, guys, come on.
Sigmund Freud once said, and I say this as a person of Irish ancestry, that the Irish are the only people immune to psychoanalysis. I would add Anna Zapp to that list as well.
I was going to say, and I don't want to be hurtful, but she sounds far more intelligent than you.
Good.
Listen to her.
Yeah, I mean, a little bit.
I would listen to her, maybe.
All right. Here's a dumb argument that John had.
So what happened to the pinball machine?
So I came in this morning, and then I turned on the dart machine and the pinball machine, and the pinball machine wasn't working.
But that's my son's favorite game.
We're working on it. I mean, we...
What is working on it? I mean, did you call a guy? I mean, tell me you called a guy.
I did call the guy. I talked to Steve, and he's supposed to call the guy. So
okay,
I,
so you didn't call the guy. You told your boss to call the guy.
I didn't call the guy, but the boss is...
You're letting me down, Jimmy.
I mean, he's got work to do. Leave him alone.
Yeah. Work like making the pinball machine work. Are you kidding me? Come on.
He's thinking about it. It's taking up his mental space, which means that we're working on it.
I'm still going to say Raven's cannonball argument is the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my entire life.
You need elevation.
Cannonball's cannonball.
You need elevation. Mm.
Have you ever broken something and not told someone that you broke it? I mean, at the office, at a house, at work, anywhere, right?
Yeah.
I have realized that I have a downstairs bathroom that I don't really use that often.
It's, right.
You know, I always go upstairs to my room for whatever reason. But I just realized that somebody broke the toilet paper holder. Like it's like hanging off the wall. And I had a lot of parties over the holiday break.
Right.
So I don't know when it broke. Anything.
Exactly who did it.
Yes.
Right.
So I'm like, how do you break somebody's toilet paper holder and not mention anything? So I asked my husband.
But don't you think that if you broke the toilet paper holder in somebody's house, you would let them know?
No. I wouldn't let them know.
You would just break somebody's toilet paper holder and go about your business and act like nothing was wrong.
Depends on whose house it was.
Who do you think did it at our house?
You.
Wasn't me.
It certainly wasn't me.
What? I mean, let me just clarify here. So was it this something anchored to the wall?
Screwed
to the, oh, that's the worst.
It's
because
the
now
worst.
You got to like fix the wall.
Oh, it's a mess. And like I told my husband when we moved into the house, I'm like, I hate the ones that are screwed into the wall because they always get loose and then they're
hanging out. They always get beat up. Yeah.
So then I questioned my daughter.
So who do you think did it? Broke the toilet paper holder in the bathroom?
I don't know.
Why don't you text all your friends that have been here over the last week and just ask any of them if they did it?
Because that's weird, Mom.
Why would somebody break it and not say anything? You didn't do it, right?
I didn't do it.
Who did it? Who did it?
I mean, I don't know. I don't live in the house.
Everybody.
Usually I know Hayden to be of the utmost character. But there's a little something in the tone there. I don't know.
She was like annoyed by it. But like, I don't think it was Hayden because Hayden would have no problem being like, Dad, I broke this. And
yeah.
That would be the end of it. I don't know. What did you break and not confess to? 1-800-330-9999. Dan.
I worked at this summer camp and we had this big printer, like a big office printer. And I like napped off a part of the tray, like the paper tray. And I like just quietly like put it down, closed the tray. And then they, you know, the office people came around, like, all upset because this broke. And I had to pretend like I was, like, incensed about it. And I brought the whole staff in, and I read them the Riot Act and said, whoever did this needs to come forward. Yeah. Like, I had to go fully off on them for something that I broke.
That's terrible, actually. But it's funny when you break something at work, because then all of a sudden you're like, oh my gosh, there's so many steps I have to go through right now to report what is broken. And it's so easy to walk away, but you can't.
And it doesn't matter what position you're in as the boss or whatever, is you're thinking about all the mistakes you've ever made before. You're like, today's the day it comes due.
I lay awake at night thinking about this moment, and I knew that nobody was going to get in trouble because nobody was going to step forward because they were all legitimately didn't do it. So, like, I thought, this is a victimless crime. Nobody gets in trouble. I look like I'm doing my job. You know, it gets fixed.
Yeah.
And, you know, the mystery continues.
This is how embezzlement starts. Yeah. Nobody's getting hurt here. Right. Victimless.
I don't know. Raven, would you ever do that? Go to somebody's house, break something, and not do anything, or even at work?
I mean, I'm sure I have at one point or another, but I mean, a long time ago. I can remember one thing. At the Baruch's house, you know, we used to wrestle in the basement, a whole bunch of us, right?
Yeah.
And at one point, either holding on to or grabbing on the door as to be dragged, while you're being dragged across the carpet, the sliding glass door came like off the track. It didn't break, but it came off the track forever. For like the next 15 years, they'd be like, yeah, that time when you broke the back door. Her parents would say that.
Right.
I mean, that's what was said.
Because you did it.
No, I didn't do it. All right. Somebody was dragging me by my ankles.
Someone broke the toilet paper holder in my bathroom and did not let anyone know. And I just wonder, how do you break something in somebody's house and not say a word about it, right?
Well, you know, it's a big party, 30, 40 people there, whatever they go. They'll never know it was me. The next person that comes in here probably assumes it was already broken.
Did you ever break something in somebody's house and you just didn't say anything? Or maybe a workplace or in a car? 1-800-330-9999. Iota, confess.
So I may or may not have broken my roommate's Vitamix
when we were living together. I was trying to make this vegan cake recipe that requires you to blend uncooked beets. I don't know, the bottom kind of got loose, but then I cleaned it up really well. And then the next time she used it, the whole thing just like came apart into a bunch of pieces. That's so bad.
That's messed up.
You put it in the cupboard, right? It worked totally fine. The next time you pull it out of the cupboard, it doesn't work. You say to your roommate who's right there on the couch, who suddenly is sitting awkwardly on the couch, did you do something with my blender? Did you use my blender? And they go, no, nothing. No, what do you mean? I never use your blender. I would never. You know, well, why? Is it not working? What's wrong with it? Oh, I'm so sorry to hear that. And you know that as the person who's got the blender, who owns it. They're lying.
I don't want to overstep my boundaries, but I wouldn't be able to live with myself if I didn't do that.
I mean, did she ever figure it out? Do you feel like she still suspects underneath? I mean, you're not living together anymore.
We're not. I do feel like there was still a little, like, beet residue
there always
like, in
is.
The gears.
I was going to say, it's like a crime scene. Like, somebody got murdered in here. Like, you had to pick the reddest, most stain-prone food that there could be. Bad choice.
Yeah. I still feel bad about it.
Yeah, no,
this
she knows.
Years ago.
Suddenly there was a beet cake in the house, and then 3 days later she goes to make a smoothie. No love.
She knows it was you. She felt bad. She couldn't, like, confront you on it. She was, like, she's probably talked smack about you to everybody she knows.
Everybody.
Absolutely.
That's right. Deserved smack, by the way.
David, did you ever break something and not tell anyone?
When me and my brother were kids, we were downstairs playing basketball in a place we were specifically not told to play basketball, and I threw him through a folding door, but the part that was broken was in the fold, so we kept it shut for about 5 years. And this one day, my mom opened the door and saw that all the slats were missing out of the bottom of the door, and I just looked at my brother, and I said, "What'd you do?"
I think hiding things from your parents is different. You could totally try to hide things from your parents as long as possible.
Right. Our condominium where I grew up, I mean, it was like four stories. So if you were on the third floor, which is where my room was, if something had happened to my closet door, my mother might not have known for 2 decades.
Yeah.
I might have been in the clear that whole time.
Patty, how about you? Did you ever break something and just not tell anyone?
My friend's arm.
What?
In first grade, I moved a chair out in the middle of a walkway. I don't remember why, but my friend tripped over it and broke her arm, and I have, to this day, still never told her that I was the one who put the chair there.
I don't know if that's your fault, though.
Right. I mean, unless you did it if their back was turned and they went to sit in the chair, that'd be one thing. Moving the chair and then them walking into it at that point. I mean, they have eyes. Mm-hmm. They've got to be responsible for their own tibula. Femur, whatever it is, whichever the arm is. I'm not a doctor.
Wait, does this mean I can release myself of the guilt I've had all
these years? I don't know. That's
years.
Between you and a higher power.
Yeah, I would say yes. I would say you can release yourself. Absolutely. As a wife, you can probably figure out how annoying this was for me. Here's a conversation between me and my husband yesterday.
How long have we been looking for your wallet?
45 minutes already. Come on.
I found it. You still want to say I moved it?
Yeah. I moved it because I'm trying to freeze your spending.
Ah ha ha ha. You think it's funny? You blamed me.
Yeah, you put it in there. You gotta freeze your spending.
I put your wallet in the refrigerator.
I'm not talking to you anymore.
45 minutes as he's complaining. You always move everything. Yeah. You put it somewhere. How come when something disappears in my house, everybody assumes that it's me?
Are you the one that typically tells people to put their stuff in a certain place?
I'm the person that typically puts things where they belong. How about that, Raven?
Okay.
Where things go back where they're supposed to be. But I never touch his wallet. I never touch his phones. I just don't. Like, I stay away from that because I don't know what he does, you know? That and his keys. For some reason, when the keys disappear, always also my fault.
Yeah.
Like, I don't have my own keys.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I come home and I drop all my stuff in one spot every day when I come home. Guess what? That is a spot that my wife doesn't want anything to be.
Correct.
So she will move things around on me, but they're in one or two areas there. And I get what you're saying. When it comes to the phone or the wallet, like, those are things that when you need it right at that moment, right?
Yeah.
So you don't want to be searching for it. So I get it.
So I was laughing, though, when I found it in the refrigerator. I'm like, we've been looking for this thing, like, under the bed, in the couch, like, all over the places that make sense. how did it end up in the fridge? And then I thought about it. I go, that's actually a place where, because it's mindless. You go in there to grab a bottle of water. You go in there to grab orange juice, milk, a snack, and you put something down and you don't even realize it.
And how many times when you're going to your fridge, you're just running? Like you're in a hurry, right? Mm-hmm. You're moving, you know, to it or past it very quickly.
Dan, what did you find in your fridge?
I put my like brand new AirPods in the fridge, and then I kept like trying to locate it on my phone, and it kept saying it was in the house, and I was pinging it, and I could like hear the faintest thing, and I like it was a week before I found these.
No.
I was like, open all the drawers and the cabinets, look up behind. I just never occurred to me. It was behind the butter.
Oh my gosh! First of all, how did they get behind the butter?
I'm sure I was like listening to stuff, making food, and then I put the butter back like while still holding them. At one point, I thought, oh, it could be in the fridge, and I opened and I'm like looking in there. Don't see it, so I just wrote that off, you know. And that was a crazy thought to begin with, and then my wife finally found him.
I feel like the fridge is just the spot that you're always going in and out of, right? So,
well,
stuff ends up in there.
AirPods, my husband and I don't use them, but my husband and my daughter have theirs, and they're constantly losing them.
Yeah,
like I guess because you use them like out of habit so much that I could see how that could happen. Did they work after they're in there for so long? And how maddening that you have to hear the ping, but you can't figure out where it's coming from.
Oh, that was the worst. It was like an Edgar Allan Poe story or something. Like it was haunting my dreams. And they did. They worked. I was like, maybe the cold lengthened the battery life or something, but they worked.
I'm reading on our Facebook page at Anna on Raven. Kathy wrote, she put her keys in the refrigerator. A lot of people wrote their keys, but Kathy explained, I had been on a carb-free diet and it melted my brain. I put the milk in the cupboard and the keys in the fridge and was back to normal eating again. I like that she blamed carbs.
There's nothing worse than putting the milk in the cabinet, right?
Oh,
it's just a misplacement, and then you know you're doomed on that milk. You're like, how long was it in there? Can I get away with this? Did anybody see me do this?
You blamed me.
Yeah, you put it in there. You got a freezer spending.
I put your wallet in the refrigerator.
Not talking to you anymore.
It's an argument my husband and I had this weekend. 45 minutes we looked for that wallet, which he insisted I moved and put somewhere else. You know where it was? It was in the refrigerator. Do you think I put it in the refrigerator? I did not. He did.
I'm guessing that you didn't, right? Yeah. You know, but I get the whole thing about blaming your partner because, you know, a lot of times you come in, you just dump your stuff off somewhere, and then, you know, you feel like the other person is always like, is this where this goes? Is this where this goes?
Looking at our Facebook page, like, what did you accidentally leave in the fridge that certainly didn't belong here? A lot of people, eyeglasses. It's weird.
Yeah.
I don't have eyeglasses, so I don't understand how this happens, but I have seen my best friend Danielle leave her glasses in the strangest places ever.
Well, I mean, some people like you wear your glasses for different types of things that you're seeing, right? So if you're reading, you might have them on, or you might have to take them off, you know, short and long distance or whatever, right?
Two people on our Facebook page said they found their cats in their refrigerator. Is that a joke or is that a real thing that happens?
That doesn't sound good.
I mean, how did your cat get into your refrigerator?
They jumped in there when you weren't paying attention.
It's so weird.
And then the door closed on them? I guess. Wow.
1-800-330-9999. What did you accidentally put in your fridge? Sari?
I left my phone in the fridge.
A lot of people also wrote that on our Facebook page at Anna and Raven. That to me is the most logical thing to leave in the refrigerator, right?
Because you always have your phone
in your
hands nowadays.
Yes.
Right? Like, I mean, it doesn't matter when we're walking around our house or whatever. There's never a time where you get up from where you're sitting, and if you have your phone in front of me, you don't grab it.
Exactly. I was looking everywhere for it.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I was like blaming everyone.
First and last stop maybe should be the refrigerator. When you open up the fridge, you need two hands. You see one thing, you grab it. You're like, oh, you know what would go great with this? This. And then you put your phone down.
Hey, Eric, what did you leave in your fridge?
Well, I got really drunk one night. I woke up and wanted to get some water. I opened up my fridge, and I see a medicine bottle in there. No, it's a brown bottle with a white top. I thought to myself, why is this in there? What the hell is in my medicine cabinet? So I went to the medicine cabinet, and there was a Parmesan cheese.
Nice.
No recollection of how that got there.
Yeah, right. Don't remember a headache. Don't remember any pasta. So how did this transfer happen? Who knows?
So weird. Yeah. Daisha, what did you put in your fridge?
my socks, like my favorite pair of socks. I guess I just had them in my hand. I was getting ready for work and like grabbing my lunch. I don't know how it happened, but they were in my hand and then I could not find them. They were in like the crisper drawer.
I could see that happening. I'm a sock loser. I'll grab a pair of socks, bring them downstairs, put on my shoes downstairs, and then I don't know what I did with them.
Safe bet, you know, when you're going to run out of the house, if there's something last minute that you say to yourself, I just had it on me. I just had it. Where did I put it? Check the fridge.
Yes.
I checked the fridge.
I looked everywhere. I could not find them.
Luckily, you probably had more socks, so it was all right.
They're still clean, though. They smell like lettuce.
Kelly, what did you accidentally put in your fridge?
I put chicken tasah in the freezer and the ice cream I put in the fridge.
Oh, I've put the ice cream in the fridge.
That did not go well for me that evening.
You have to eat all the ice cream right away.
But that's the thing is, typically you're putting it in the fridge because you've just made yourself an ice bowl or a cone or whatever, right? Mm. So you may not get up and check the fridge or the freezer anytime soon. And you're thinking to yourself, man, that ice cream was great. Good thing I've got a whole container of it. You open up the fridge. Not only is the ice cream bad, but you've got a mess in there sometimes.
And you just got to drink it. Can't let ice cream go to waste.
Lick the shelves.
Did you ever get kicked out of a bridal party? I can't believe this is even a thing, but there was an article that went viral about this woman who was upset that she got kicked out of a bridal party because her ex-boyfriend was one of the groomsmen. They were having a disagreement, and they had to choose who was going to stay, and she got the boot.
Yeah, sometimes you just got to feel it out, right? Just, you know the temperature and know when to pull back if it's something you really want to be involved in. Sometimes those battles, you're going to lose them. People get kicked out of wedding parties all the time, though. I've got a friend, he's getting married in 6 weeks, and one of the bridal party just got booted like a couple weeks ago.
Why?
I think, as a matter of fact, the bride was telling me at the Christmas party. So, you know, basically, this happens all the time, right? Something about with the bridal party. At one point or another throughout all these meetings, and there are lots of activities, somebody's drama is going to come forward. And you see this all the time working with couples, too, in entertainment, is that the old group of friends and the new group of friends cannot mix for whatever reason.
It's the strangest thing.
Because the old friend wants to, you know, still feel like they know the friend, you know, on the day-to-day and handle, you know, all the planning and so forth, whereas the bride is spending her time with her new group of friends, and it's daily. There's a difference.
It's funny when it's like, oh, those are my high school friends, those are my college friends,
yes,
those are my work friends. It's like all of a sudden there's this divide and strange rivalry between them.
Why do they need to fight amongst each other, right? Like,
yeah,
especially when it comes to a bridal party, I think you just get in line and do what the bride says. It's her day.
I know. So she got kicked out?
She got kicked out of it at
that
point.
That's wild.
She wouldn't communicate in all the group texts. She would not take part in any of the planning or anything like that. And then she would randomly send out a message after, you know, 4 months of darkness and just be like, here are the plans for the bachelorette party. And they'd be like, well, the bride already planned on something else with everybody else.
That's nuts.
Totally weird. It was better off that she got out.
Did you ever get kicked out of a bridal party? Like, what happened? 1-800-330-9999. Jessica, you did?
I would not get my hair done the way that everybody wanted me to.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, what happened?
I went to the salon. First of all, it was so much more expensive than everybody else. We were all supposed to get our hair done the same way. And we went for, like, you know, the testing where you choose your hair. And I just said I wanted to wear mine down and, like, curled. And they wanted everyone to get these, like, prom updos. I'm not going to pay for that. I don't want my hair that way. The bride just said, well, then don't bother showing up the day of the wedding either. And I got kicked out of the bridal party.
I feel like in general, every time I've had to have my hair done by somebody that's not one of my people, I have despised it.
Of course.
And I am not any better because I look back at my wedding video and all the raw footage. Poor Stephanie. Stephanie, if you're listening, to this day, I'm so sorry. They made her cut bangs that morning.
In the morning of my wedding.
They cut her bangs, and I see her face as they're cutting her bangs, and I don't even understand what happened.
Why would she do that? Why would she agree to that? Is she related to you?
No, she's my best friend. She's one of my best friends.
I would have ran out the door.
I don't know if I would run out the door. Like, what do you...
Yeah, I mean, you protect your hair.
Yeah. Did you ever get kicked out of a bridal party? Like, you were asked to be a bridesmaid or a groomsman, and then all of a sudden they're like, just kidding, we want you out. What happened? 1-800-330-9999. Olivia.
I was kicked out of my best friend since third grade's bridal party. She decided to have a destination wedding, and she picked a very expensive hotel. And when I said I wanted to go to a different hotel, she said, well, don't bother coming.
Oh, my God.
I mean, really? So, I mean, was it a thing where had there been preliminary stuff and fights on every step, every part of it, or just that one part? The hotel was too much.
No, it was just the one part. The hotel was outrageous. Yeah. And, you know, I was single. This was years ago. And I was just looking into pricing, and it wasn't going to work for me. So I found a place right down the road that was much cheaper, told her about it, and she was like, nope, don't bother.
Wow.
That is so sad.
Yeah, I mean, if you were like, you know, bridesmaid number 7 or 8, I don't know at what number, Anna, that, you know, the emotions get to go a level down or so. For some people, I guess it's bridesmaid number 4. But I'm guessing if you're 7 or 8 or whatever, that's one thing. You know, the maid of honor.
Honestly, it was just us two. It was me and one other of her best friends, but she only really had a couple of friends. And the other friend couldn't go either, so.
What?
Are you friends with her anymore or no?
We're friends, yeah. We just definitely drifted.
Christina, why'd you get kicked out of a bridal party?
I got kicked out of the party because, well, my friend had, like, all these epic events leading up, like, you know, a trip to Mexico, like, all the parties. And I just said, like, you know, I mean, I guess I definitely, like, didn't say it great, but I was complaining, like, this is so expensive, and the dress was expensive, and then hair and makeup, the quote came through. And I was, like, you know, trying to, like, be like, maybe we could find a cheaper way to do this. And she was like, well, if you don't want to be a part of this, then, like, don't come. And she just was like, you don't need to be a part of this anymore, and just, like, cut me out of the wedding party.
It's sad because I think a lot of people feel that way. Like, when you get asked to be in a bridal party, you are so excited, but you know that it comes with a huge price tag. And for some people, like, that's a lot to swallow.
I think it's a lot to ask people nowadays.
True.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, it's time and money.
We've gotten to this point now where it's like the bachelor or the bachelorette party has to be a flyaway. On top of that, they're expecting a bridal shower, and that's got to be extravagant, you know? And then the dresses are, as you said, more expensive now. Hair and makeup's always been expensive. You add all those things up, it's a whole lot.
It's an investment to have to be in someone's wedding. I get it. I don't know. I wonder, like, was she mean about it?
She was not great about it, but, like, I mean, I'm hoping, like, I'm just going to kind of let it simmer. I don't know. Like, it's all the hotels, it's everything, and it's just too much. But, yeah, she was not the nicest in her response to me.
That's sad.
I don't fault either of you, though, to tell you the truth. Like, I mean, if she's got this list of things that she wants, then she has to understand that certain people are not going to be there for that. And, you know, if you're really friends, she should have an understanding of that. And frankly, if you're, you know, not going to burden yourself like that, pulling yourself out is no problem either.
It's funny, looking at it as now, I can't even believe it that I'm going to be married 20 years next year. But I don't think I would do the same thing now as I did 20 years ago when I got married. Like, looking back, I'm like, I wouldn't expect those women to have to pay for that again. I almost think I wouldn't have a bridal party, I don't think, anymore. It's just asking too much. I think just, you know, throw it out there. Hey, we're going to do this bachelorette party. Anybody wants to come? And, like, no pressure from anyone. No obligation from anyone. It's too much to ask of people now.
What couple?
Why would he go all the way to Oregon for this job when our life isn't there?
One problem.
Create so many opportunities for the family. I mean, we already have one kid in college already. And
you decide the outcome.
I think that it's going to be really hard on us.
It's just going to create so many opportunities.
Go and take work, guys. Good luck.
It's Couple Score on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day, a couple joins us. They let us know what their disagreement is about. And then you just have to decide who's right. Michelle and Bobby, I know this is not an easy time to buy a house. And you found a house, but now there's a problem, right?
Yeah.
Okay, Michelle, what's going on? Okay. All right, what's happening?
Okay, so we're in contract right now to buy a new house. And while we were with the realtor, who didn't stop this, by the way, it's like the neighbor gave us a list of rules and saying that it was like his neighborhood. And this is the scary part. He said there'd be consequences, quote, if we didn't follow his specific list of rules. So I don't know what that means, and I don't want to stick around to find out. Life is more than just your home. It's your neighbors, too. So I'm out.
I have so many questions. Okay.
Please.
So you want to back out of the deal because there's a crazy neighbor. I have to know, what was on this list of rules?
It was things like noise, like if he hears laughter after 10 p.m. It's like, yeah,
how many
children
lights
cannot
how many
be
lights
playing
can have in the backyard?
Unattended.
Lights in the backyard, noises.
Yeah.
Was he an elderly person or is he just nuts?
50s.
I think he's not too old to do damage. I think it's a combination of both, to be honest. Like, you didn't see, okay, when he handed us the list, there was, like, darkness behind his eyes. And that is actually the part that I'm scared about most. He was dead serious. Do you know that vibe I'm talking about where you're like, whoa, you've probably murdered a bunch of people?
I mean, is this a neighborhood with an HOA or what? This is just a regular place that you're rolling into and there's no rules here whatsoever. This person, you know, is not on a board or anything like that. This is just a random person that walked up, approached you when you were there on the property.
Well, I don't know that, yeah, it has an HOA, but I don't think he's involved with it. And yeah, he just walked up and he gave us a folder with a typed out list.
That's nuts.
I mean, obviously.
Okay.
It's like somebody hands you a folder of rules and they're not part of the HOA and it's not the rules of the HOA.
You can't just ignore a threat, though.
No, I'm with you.
Like, that's the whole thing. Like, sure, his rules don't matter, but then what happens when we, quote, break them? And that's what I don't want to stick around to find out.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. Well, I think I'd be backing out, too.
But you guys love the house?
Yes.
But the house isn't just the house. It's the neighborhood. It's the community. So when we sign this contract, we're opting into all of it. And I don't like all of it.
Yeah.
It's unsettling. You don't want to start a new life in a new place with a neighbor who has already threatened you. Like, it doesn't bode well.
You could walk out right now without losing any money. Yeah, you could back out of the deal right now. You still could.
Yes.
Okay.
Because it's not, the contract is not even signed. Like, I don't want to stick around long enough to be able to say, I told you so.
I can't believe
that
the realtor
is not what I want
just
to
stand
happen.
There while a neighbor would approach like that.
I mean, what can you do?
What are you going to do?
Right. So,
would you buy a house if a neighbor approached you with their list of rules in a folder?
Well, let's call them demands. 1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? It's the Couples Court with Anna and Raven.
Would you back out of a deal to buy a house if you were relatively certain the neighbors were nuts? So what's going on with Michelle and Bobby. They found a house they really like, except a neighbor approached them when they were doing a second walkthrough with a folder filled with rules. His rules.
Yeah.
About living in the neighborhood.
Yeah, and Michelle says, that's enough for me. I don't want to live here. There's no point of this. And Bobby says, listen, we'll get it all under control. We'll put some cameras on that side of the house. We'll let people know whether or not it becomes an issue. And I'll have a conversation with them at some point.
I don't know, but you really want to walk into a neighborhood where you already have, like, issues with the neighbor? You got to live next door to them? 1-800-330-9999. Don, whose side are you on?
Yeah, I'm on Michelle's side. Get out of there. Forget it. If you're going to live in an HOA, then live in an HOA.
Yeah, I mean, I think just the audacity of somebody to walk up to a group of people at a house before it's even closed and hand somebody a folder. I mean, you've prepared a folder of your rules.
What a terrible situation to be in. You know, just to think about it like that, like you find a house that you finally like, everything seems to be right, and then you find out there's a crazy neighbor. Now you know why the price was right.
Mm.
It all coming down. Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Couples Court. Would you buy a house if you knew the neighbors were nuts? That's what's going on with Michelle and Bobby. They finally found a home and have an agreed to offer, but before they signed the contract, a neighbor walked up to them, handed them a manila folder with a list of rules.
Can you imagine? Yeah. And he's not on the HOA. He's not any of those things. He's just a neighbor from around the neighborhood who's walking around with a folder full of rules. Sees somebody out in a driveway and goes, oh, this is my time to approach. That's crazy.
Michelle says, we got to run. We can't stay in this house. We can't buy this house. We know right off the bat this guy is crazy. But Bobby disagrees.
Yeah, Bobby says, listen, we'll put up the cameras. We'll let them know our boundaries. If we have an interaction with him again, I'll deal with it at the time. But it's really not the end of the world.
What do you think? 1-800-330-9999. Emily, whose side are you on?
Listen. It's literally why my husband and I are not buying yet. It is a really tough question. But if you already know the neighbors are cuckoo, no.
If you've got good neighbors, it can be the best thing, right? If you've got bad neighbors, it can ruin your entire living experience.
And you have to go home to those people every single day.
Right.
Yeah.
Even though they're in a separate domain, you do, right? Yeah. You have to tolerate them and their guests.
Oh, yes.
Scott, what do you think?
I say that it is going to be a nightmare because if you've already got this situation going on, wait till you want to go hang Christmas lights or hang the flag you want or whatever. It's going to be a nightmare.
Right. I mean, the guy is telling you, I'm going to make your lives difficult. And why are you going to sign that paper to make that happen?
Yeah, I mean, if he doesn't have the
right. No, it's a bad situation from the get-go.
I mean, obviously, he has no right to make your life a living hell. But that doesn't mean that he can't and he won't. Tony, what do you think about this? Whose side are you on today?
Well, I think that this gentleman is trying to intimidate and be a big bully to them. So, you know, I don't know how anybody else feels, but if it was done to me, I would treat him like a balloon, pop him, and watch him go away.
Could there be a more Tony answer?
Yes.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Michelle, our audience agreed with you today. You really want to live with that going forward, knowing that you're walking into a situation where you've got a neighbor that's going to be hyper-vigilant on absolutely everything you do? That's where you live. That's where you go to bed. Bobby, you got to back out of that deal.
I guess if that's what we're going to do, but I mean, that's just fine. Okay.
It stinks because when you fall in love with a house, you get super excited and you start to imagine yourself in there. And that makes it really, really heartbreaking when it doesn't work out. So I understand that. At the same time, Bobby, the dude's 50 years old. You can't wait to outlive him. Situations that start like this seldom get better. They usually get worse. I just don't think you guys want that kind of restraints on you. I totally get why you would not want to do that.
I don't want to be looking over my shoulder every day, every night.
Yeah, I'm with you, Michelle. You have a barbecue. You got to hear about it for the next 6 years. Forget that.
You got to worry about it. I used to have a neighbor that used to get mad if we left the back light on when I lived in my condo.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. They would leave notes in the mailbox, and I'd be like the dog was out. Like, what did you? It was wild.
I mean, everybody has their own things they have to deal with. Mm-hmm. And if they don't want to deal with neighbors, they shouldn't be living in a condo complex.
Yeah. All right. Well, we wish you the best. And if anybody else has an issue, too, send an email at couplescore@annaandraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
The Can't Beat Raven cash jackpot is $3,400. Thanks to Always Night Pads. Stop leaking overnight on your period. Always Night Pads are designed for a perfect night's sleep with up to 100% leak protection so you can do your sleep thing. Hey, John, you ready to play today?
Yes, we're ready to play.
All right, you've got your daughter Jocelyn with you?
Yes, my daughter's right here with me to try to help with the younger crowd questions. She's like your daughter, 14.
Oh, perfect. She might actually be very helpful today. Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, please leave the room and let us win.
Good luck, you two.
I want you to win, too. All right, Raven's going to walk out of here. Too. That door is going to close. He's not going to be able to hear us. We're in a soundproof studio. I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions. You have 3 seconds to answer each one. He'll come back in, get the same questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. Ties go to Raven. Ready?
Yes.
Number one. It was an A-list comedian reunion at Jim Carrey's 60th birthday party, including Adam Sandler, David Spade, Jimmy Kimmel, and so many more. Jim Carrey played late entertainer Andy Kaufman in what movie?
Bowling? I don't remember.
Number two, this past weekend was the busiest of the year for online dating. Which dating app uses the slogan, "The dating app designed to be deleted"?
The Field.
Number three, Golden Globes were last night. Billie Eilish's What Was I Made For was won Best Original Song. It was for what movie? Jocelyn, you know that one.
What was that? Barbie.
Number four, it's National Bubble Bath Day. What character from Sesame Street sings Rubber Ducky?
Big Bird.
And number five, an Adam Sandler film was put on hold because the directors of the film broke up during production. What's the name of Adam Sandler's recent animated Netflix film where he plays a Tuatara that can talk?
No idea.
Jocelyn, you know that one?
What? Say what you're thinking.
What's the name of the thing that can talk?
Tuatara. I thought he was a turtle, but I guess he wasn't a turtle. All right, let me bring Raven back in. Okay. Yep. They only got one right.
Oh, really good job, guys. Yeah. Here we go. Let's see how I do. Maybe they're really hard.
Number one, it was an A-list comedian reunion at Jim Carrey's 60th birthday, including Adam Sandler, David Spade, Jimmy Kimmel, and so many more. Jim Carrey played late entertainer Andy Kaufman in what movie?
Man on the Moon.
Man on the Moon is correct. Number two, this past weekend was the busiest of the year for online dating. Which dating app uses the slogan, the dating app designed to be deleted?
I only know this because of John's catchy song last week. It's Hinge.
Hinge is correct. Number three, Golden Globes were last night. Billie Eilish's What Was I Made For won Best Original Song. It was for what movie?
Barbie.
Yes.
Very nice scene, actually, that they used it in.
Yep. Number four, it's National Bubble Bath Day. What character from Sesame Street sings Rubber Ducky?
Wouldn't that be Ernie?
Ernie is correct.
Yeah!
And number five, an Adam Sandler film was put on hold because the directors of the film broke up during production. What is the name of Adam Sandler's recent animated Netflix film where he plays a Tuatara that can talk?
I have no idea.
It's Leo. It's really cute. If you haven't watched it yet, it's like fun for adults, too. It's almost more for adults, but yeah. I loved it. And so did my kids. All right, I'm sorry, John and Jocelyn. You guys got beat 4-1 today. That's going to get you an Ann on Raven t-shirt.
Okay, thanks. We can't beat Raven. This is John and Jocelyn.
Better luck next time. Enjoy that shirt, you guys. You'll have to fight over it. $3,500 tomorrow, Anna.